All right. Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you all for joining this, our OMS Tech Friday calls. As I call it, the fall version of these calls. Early in the year, we did some sessions. My peer or my teammate, Kevin Sullivan, led those calls, and we're starting back the OMS Tech Friday sessions up for the next couple of weeks. We're going to be focusing on the OMS suite and some of the solutions inside OMS suite, and we will go through and just present some of the learnings that we have found as folks in the hybrid management team. So, as I said, afternoon, everyone. My name is Rowan Daly, and I'm a hybrid management specialist here at Microsoft. I'm in the on the East Coast of the US, and I focus on the technologies inside the OMS suite. That includes ASR, Azure Backup, Log Analytics, automation, and those technologies. So, just to get things going, just want to welcome everyone, as I said, to these calls. And that includes both our customers and internal folks and partners as well. Just to let you know, the material that we're sharing in this call is all public information. There's no NDA stuff inside these calls. And as if anyone on the call, you might be aware of NDA items, and you might need questions. But sorry, might need responses to those questions. We recommend that you hold those, and we can take them offline, either myself or one of my team members inside the Global Black Belt team. Please use your IM window for questions. There are a number of folks here who are experts inside the OMS suite, and they'll be able to help you get your questions answered, while I present. The other thing I want to mention is that all these sessions, every single session that we do over the next couple of weeks, will be recorded, and they will be posted at the following link, which is ak.ms OMS Friday. So look for the recordings and also the PowerPoint decks, for those for these sessions, just in case you want to run them over with your teams or anything like that. And then also we have a channel on Cloud Nine, the on Channel Nine. We will post these videos on Channel Nine for offline consumption also. So just to start, what are we going to talking about today? As with all sessions, we will be focusing on Operations Management Suite and giving a quick introduction of the OMS suite. And then we'll dive into our focus area, which is Azure Site Recovery. And today, I want to do a session that is really focused on talking about some learnings. Over the last couple of months of us deploying OMS, sorry, deploying ASR, and coming up on different issues with our deployment, we just want to be able to share with our peers and the field some of the things that we have found out while doing POCs or doing actual customer deployments of ASR. So let's start first by talking quickly about OMS. And the thing is, when we hear the term OMS, there are many questions that come into folks' mind. And is it Azure Backup? Is it Azure Site Recovery? Is it Log Analytics? Is it Application Insights? But the and you could say the answer is yes, it's all of that and more. The fact is that OMS is a suite of solutions, right? It's a suite of solutions that come together to create an ever-evolving system management platform. So these solutions are built to manage your infrastructure, whether that infrastructure sits on premises or in the cloud. And if you dive a little more on the solution, you'll realize that it's what we call this modern cloud management solution. So inside the OMS suite, we have solutions that give you the ability to organize, to manage configuration in the environment, so using Azure Automation and DSC and update management. Definitely a core component inside OMS is the log analytic solution, which gives you that deep insight into, your environment and issues that might be, pertinent to your environment. And then OMS also includes, our disaster recovery story, whether it is, backup or disaster recovery from a replication point of view in using Azure Site Recovery. And also broadly, the security pieces of the solution that gives us, again, the ability to understand, what is happening with our applications, or at the network layer. So really and truly, OMS sits on four pillars. And, the four pillars, as I said, are go across whether the infrastructure that you're running sits inside your on-premises data center, or they are in a hosted environment or a public cloud. So it could be that you have this hybrid infrastructure, and you have items running on premises, and you have items running in AWS, or you're running in Azure, or hosted in somewhere like Rackspace. With OMS, you have the ability to get the deep insight right across those workloads. You have the ability to leverage automation to ensure that all your workloads are consistently configured and meeting whatever compliance requirements that you have for your environment. And obviously, from the security posture point of view, anybody that is managing this kind of hybrid environment would need the ability to be able to quickly respond to security threats, and not only respond, from a visibility point of view, but the ability to remediate those issues. And then last, by no means least, is that core, again, in this hybrid infrastructure is the ability to ensure that all your applications and data is available, and we do that by leveraging our protection capabilities of Azure Site Recovery and Azure Backup. And again, this is just another view of the solution. So there's broad integration across a number of capabilities, and that solution includes not only, as I said, on-premises, different clouds, but also we have the ability to integrate into our existing management infrastructure. But let's say you had System Center Operations Manager, deployed, in your environment. We can leverage the connectivity to the System Center suite or Operations Manager more directly to pull information, from technologies or environments already protected, by OpsMan. Again, and this is just broadly around OMS. Why OMS? It's when you're thinking about a solution to deploy, it's hybrid, it's open. We have the ability to quickly deploy the solution. It's a SaaS service. It runs in the cloud. So for your time to get going, right? It is really, really an easy solution to get out and running in a really minimum time. So okay, what we're going to do now is look at our focus area for today's session, and we're going to be talking about Azure Site Recovery. And with Azure Site Recovery, as I said, we're going to dive down, and we're going to look on a particular scenario with ASR. And that scenario where we're going to looking on, we're going to be talking about these backup, sorry, best practices and common issues that we find having deployed ASR. So we're going to be looking at replication, your capacity planning management tool, and some other areas. So for those who are new to ASR, just to do a quick level set, Azure Site Recovery is our disaster recovery tool that allows us to do DR from on-premises, whether it be VMware or Hyper-V, to the Azure cloud. And it also allows us to do, on-premises DR. But I think the business value really comes in, when you start to leverage Azure for your protection capabilities. And just moving quickly, I mean, ASR allows us to do, it's a single tool with multiple scenarios. It includes the ability to DR, it is our component to do migration, and it gives you the ability to do dev tests also, because while you're protecting entities, you have the ability to fail over those entities into the Azure storage, and create running instances from those protected entities. And let's say you want to test an application, in an isolated environment before you actually apply those changes in your production instance, you can do that with ASR and the capabilities that it provides. So, all right, let's talk about the deployment model and how ASR works, starting with the Hyper-V scenario. And the reason why we want to start here is because I think one of the things that we have run into is when folks start to do a deployment, it's not really clear to them exactly what is needed in the environment to ensure that the solution works correctly. So with the Hyper-V to Azure scenario is the simplest of the deployment models. And here, what basically happens is that we need to open outbound ports from our Hyper-V host, or if we're using VMM, right? We need to open outbound ports over 443 to Azure to our Azure data centers. And in this scenario, we are also using as a replication channel the public internet. So this is what happens. We have our Azure Site Recovery agent that is deployed on our Hyper-V host because it's a block level replication solution. And on if you're using VMM, we have the site recovery adapter that is deployed on the VMM server. So basically, when we enable protection for Hyper-V VMs, this is how the process flows. There's a initial replication of what is on disk. These are read and they're uploaded by the recovery service agent. Now we are also tracking changes. So I'm doing initial replication of the disk that is for that VM, but I'm also tracking changes that are being made to that VM, and then I'm then uploading those changes also. We leverage the public internet for our replication channel, and then that goes into Azure storage, where again it is cached, and those changes are applied to any target VMs that we that the target VM that we have running in the cloud. So let's open our Hyper-V infrastructure for a moment, and let's look at a Hyper-V host, and we can see what's happening in the environment. Just let me log on here in a moment. Let's look at our environment here, and I'm going to bring up my Hyper-V host, right? So I have this Hyper-V host that I'm protecting VMs on. So one of the first things that you'll see on this Hyper-V host is that when we go into our virtual machines, right? So I have my Hyper-V VMs that are on a storage location here. When I open the storage location for my virtual machines, I'll see the disks that need to be protected, and then I also see the snapshots that are made of that virtual machine. So when what happens? Well, right now these VMs are fully protected. They are not doing initial replication, so there are no AVHDX files that are there at the moment. So first thing happens is right, the initial replication creates a snapshot of the disk. So while replication is happening, we are tracking changes in that VM by this HRL file. And once we have done initial replication, then we copy the contents of this HRL file into Azure storage, and then that VM will be completely protected at the moment. Now, why is this important? The reason why this is important is because depending on the churn rate and the time that it takes to complete the initial replication, that HRL file and the AVHDX file could grow as much as 50% of the original VHD. Why is this important then? So if you have a VM, and let's say the VM is 1 terabyte, right? To complete initial replication of that VM, it could potentially take up to an additional 500 gigabytes to do the initial replication, to replicate that snapshot, and to track and replicate the changes that needs to be there for to complete the initial replication. So you have to very be you have to be very cognizant of this and ensure that there is enough space on the disk that your Hyper-V VM sit on to complete replication. Now, you have the ability, if you run out of this space, you have the ability to pause replication. You can use your the common Hyper-V PowerShell commandlets to stop replication and then resume replication, you know, when you have freed up enough disk space. So you might see this as an issue in your replicate in your recovery services vault, where you might see the VM goes into a resync state. And sometimes this is caused by not having not enough space to complete the initial replication, you know, for those virtual machines. So what are the things that we can do to ensure that we are fully cognizant of what is needed to complete this initial replication? Now, what we encourage and what we stress to all customers is that you should do your capacity planning. And what the capacity planning does, it gives us, you know, this is an Excel spreadsheet, I must be honest. It's an Excel spreadsheet that you plug into your churn rate of your virtual machines, you know, your bandwidth and the time that you require for initial replication to complete. Let's say you're protecting five VMs and you want them to be fully replicated within 12 hours. So when you plug in those values, then, you know, you would be able to see what is the required bandwidth to complete your replication requirements. Now, suffice to say, you know, that was a manual process. However, what we have available now and is a ASR capacity planning tool, which gives us, it's in private preview, but the product group is making it available to customers who want to test it out. And you know, if you'd like to try it out, I mean, just send me an email and we can get you access to it. So what the capacity planning tool does is takes the guesswork out of you needing to figure out what is needed for you know, to complete initial replication and what we call delta replication. So here I have the tool, and basically what it does, it goes out and it starts profiling the environment. So it profiles the environment, and in this example, I'm talking to my Hyper-V server, BCDR05, and I'm supplying the list of VMs that I want to protect. And also, it would also identify what is the bandwidth needed to replicate from this Hyper-V host into my Azure storage account that I want to store my item. So in this case, you can specify the storage account and the storage account key. And it gives you that information. It does that at a minimum of 50 minutes interval, but we can specify up to a 30-day window to do profiling. So once that's done, we can also generate report, right? And when we generate the report gives us the actual Excel spreadsheet that will give us detail into the requirements that are needed to ensure a successful replication, you know, of the disk that we want to protect. So if I quickly open my Excel spreadsheet that I have here, so in this and this is a small environment. But what it will show you is, so here I'm saying that the number of hours in which I want to ensure my VMs are fully replicated, you know, I use a large value, 120 hours. That's quite a long time. But it tells me the network bandwidth requirements that are needed, right? It also tells me how much storage I will require in Azure to complete the replication of my VMs. And then also, very, very important, the tool goes out and it identifies my available bandwidth that I have, you know, inside from the Hyper-V host to the edge of my network, which is very, very important information. So it shows me these key values, and it also, as I said, it shows me, you know, what the network requirements, bandwidth requirements are to complete replication. And it also, for each individual VM, it shows some key things, right? It shows you the total gig of the disk, but it also shows you the IOPS that are going to be required, for the actual IOPS on this on these VMs. So if you know the importance of that, it will make you determine whether or not you will need a standard storage account or a premium storage account, for protection when you're in when you're doing DR. The other thing is it also gives us individual metrics on each disk that I'm protecting. So here again, it shows the peak IOPS, my average write, and my peak write information for the disk that I want to protect. So as I said, this tool is available, for anyone who'd want to test it out. If you're doing a POC or you just get starting with replicating your virtual machines and you want to ensure that you replicate successfully, this is something that you wanna look into. So there are some other things that I want to share that is important in preparing the environment, because when you go on, let's start with our Hyper-V host. If you go into when you deploy ASR, the Microsoft Azure Backup Agent is also deployed. If you go into properties of the Azure Backup tool and go under throttling, here we can manage the bandwidth that is available to ASR for replicating our virtual machines, right? So if we enable bandwidth usage throttling for operations, we can specify what bandwidth is available between for replication. So this is really important because ASR will use whatever bandwidth it sees available. So let's say you don't want to flood the network, you can use that to to throttle and specify what times a day are work periods so that your replication doesn't impact your production environment. Another functionality that you can enable is we can go into the registry and we can go on the Microsoft Windows Azure Backup, and we can specify this value, which is our upload threads per VM, right? And what this does, the default is 4, but what we do is, let's say you want to influence the amount of bandwidth that is used, you can increase the number of threads that are available for your VMs that are being replicated using ASR. So again, these are some of the things that you look for, when you're starting out and you're preparing for your environment for replication. And if there comes a situation where initial replication is taking an extended amount of time, or VMs are missing replication cycles because of high churn on the VMs, there are some things that you can do to actually figure out what is taking place in your environment. So one of the first things that you can do is you can go into you can use Perfmon. Perfmon is you can open Perfmon and you can look at your Perfmon. You can start by looking at your Hyper-V virtual storage device, and that can give you visibility. Right now, I mean, there's not much churn on this host, right? But this can give you visibility into things such as your write bytes per second and on each disk that you want to protect in your environment. So we see write bytes per second, write operations, and write counts per second, which gives you visibility into whether there's high churn in the environment. You can also open performance monitor, and in performance monitor, what you'll see is you're looking for the CV engine process, and that will tell you whether or not there is how many bytes are being sent per second, out to Azure storage, right? So here I'm going out to my blob store, and if there's any, first of all, you'll see whether or not on your network there is high network IO, and so right now, I mean, there's not much utilization on this network, so there shouldn't be any issue replicating VMs to the cloud. So that gives us that visibility into the environment, so that we can start by, have a starting point, for troubleshooting issues, if there are replication concerns, you know, from the Hyper-V side of the fence. So it gives you that kind of level set or you know, area to start, you know, checking for issues from. And as I said, you know, if you're running out of this space on a Hyper-V host, you can always suspend replication and then do a resume VM replication with a resync to force a restart, you know, of resynchronization, you know, if there are any particular issues. Okay. So the next thing that we're going to do is move on to our VMware and scenario. Now, as you know, VMware is a agent-based, well, mobility agent-based replication. So we're replicating at the VM level. We're doing initial replication, then we are also tracking changes or capturing changes in memory and replicating them into Azure storage. So if we quickly look at our graphic, so we do our initial replication and reads, we track those data changes and we upload those initial changes. Again, we are storing that in a cache folder on our master target server or CSPS server. Once that's complete, once initial replication is done, we have what is called a protected VM, right? Once the VM is protected, we are also doing so here between our source VM and our config process server. There is this, we presume or we assume that this network is going to be you know, pretty a fast network, being a WAN, sorry, your local area network, a LAN. So from the process server into Azure storage, we are also caching, compressing, and sending that data over the WAN link, you know, which we assume, you know, would be, well, obviously slower than you know, what you have on premises. So once that's done, again, you know, we cache that data and we apply it to the target via the VHDs or the target storage area that we have you know, for the VM that is being protected in the cloud. All right. So before we move to our mobility agent, let's just look at it helps to look at our VMware environment to see, you know, some of the things that are taking place, you know, in a VMware environment. So in on the machine that is being protected, so what we'll see on that machine is if the machine is doing a replica initial replication. What you'll see is if you open Procmon or you or Process Explorer, I should say, you will be able to see the SV agent, which is the mobility service running on that VM. The S2.exe service, which is part of the SV agent service, is the one that does differential replication. The DRA agent is the DRA agent is the one that does the initial replication, you know, for a VMware to Azure environment. So right now with the S2 .exe agent, you'll notice that you're not seeing any disk IO, and that's very important because this agent is tracking in memory transactions, so in memory writes, and is replicating them over to the process server. So if we go over to the process server, what you'll also see if we go down to where my site recovery services is installed. So we go into that directory, we go into home, we go into SV systems, and we also go into you'll see a couple of folders with GUIDs. These are the cache locations for the machines that I'm replicating. So if we drill down into one of these folders, what you'll see is my contents for my resync or my initial synchronization, and then my differential sync, right? So this is just a monitor that is monitoring that content. So here you see a differential sync was just completed, and that information goes over to my process server. So here, well, the process server pushes that over into Azure storage just a while ago. Okay, so I also if you're finding that again, you know, there is churn, there is slow replication of your VMware VMs. You have the ability to leverage again the two solutions or the two components that I was talking about a while ago. Use Process Explorer. Process Explorer again can show you on this machine, you know, what is happening with the SVA agent and whether if it's replicating content up to Azure storage. You can use Resource Monitor, and on Resource Monitor you are looking for two network two services that under your network activity. So you're looking at your CXPS dot exe, and this represents data that is coming from machine that is being protected into the process server, right? The cbengine.exe is what replicates the data on the process server up into Azure storage. So what you're looking for here is that as we receive bytes and as we send bytes out to the internet, right, there shouldn't be any latency. Right, so this column here, you don't want to see any latency in this column. If you start seeing latency, whether being replicating from the protected entity to the process server or from the process server to the internet, then you know there might be cause for concern, and you know you need to investigate exactly you know what's the reason there. Now, also we and I'm going to jump back to my Hyper-V host for a moment. We support we do support extensive logging to figure out exactly all that is taking place you know during the replication process. And if you go on your whether on your Hyper-V host or on your process server, and you go into Program Files, Microsoft Azure Site Recovery Agent, and in the temp folder, right, you'll see the verbose logging, you know, for the Azure Site Recovery Agent, and this gives you a lot of detail about the initial replication. So it starts a replication sync and your delta synchronization. So you know, if you are somebody that is interested in you know finding out details of, for example, verbose logging, you can use these logs to help to troubleshoot you know some of your issues. So here, for example, you see it creates a synchronization session to my target endpoint, right? So this gives you know it will walk you through the actual steps that it takes place to start initial replication and you know replicate your virtual machine into Azure storage. Now, for your VMware environment, what you will see is, let me just hit replication on this VM. What you'll see is in your storage location, if you drill down into your into the blob server into your storage account and go under the blob service, you'll see a number of different folders. If you open them, right, what you'll see is the VHD folder, which represents the initial replication of the disk for that VM that you're replicating. And then you'll see on the HRL folder, similarly as what was on the Hyper-V host, these are my delta synchronizations, right? So it tells you at each time when we took that it, the mobility agent replicated changes from the source VM to the process server. These are the delta synchronizations that took place, right? So let's talk a little bit about the mobility agent, because the deployment of the mobility agent is another area that I've found that customers struggle with. So the mobility agent can out of the box can be deployed using your process server. It does a push install from a process server, and you go inside your recovery services vault. And when you're enabling replication, you can do a push of the mobility agent from the process server. Now, for that to happen on the VMs that you're protecting, the you need to ensure, and let's say on that VM you're running the Windows firewall, you want to ensure that you have file and print sharing open And also Windows WMI management open on that VM. Now, let's say you're not using the Windows firewall, but you have some third-party firewall or some enterprise firewall between where the process server sits and the VM that you want to protect. What you want to ensure to do is in that firewall, you want to enable Microsoft file sharing over SMB, and you need to open UDP ports 135 to 139, and then you also need to open TCP 135 to 139. And then for WMI, you need to open TCP 135 also, but you also need to have the ephemeral ports open. So that high port range, you need to have that open, and you can, well, if you're running, let's say you're running Active Directory in the environment, more than likely those ephemeral ports would have already been open. You have the ability also to do, you don't have to deploy the agent using a push install. You can, let's say you're leveraging SCCM in the infrastructure, you can extract the unified agent.exe and use SCCM to push it out to your clients. You also have the ability to do a manual install, and I'm showing the example here for Linux or Windows. You can do a manual install, for environments that are disconnected and you want to do a manual setup of the solution. Now, if you're doing a manual setup, you don't have to open the file sharing or the WMI ports. New also, you have an additional capability. You can do leverage Azure Automation or desired state configuration. It's a set scripts to push the unified agent out to the machines that you want to protect. And when the DSC method or the Azure Automation method allows you to, as I said, store the unified agent and the Azure VM agent, also to have them stored in a location that is accessible by all virtual machines and that you want to protect, and you can push that out to the environment. Let me quickly just show you what that script looks like. Let me open. Here is an example. Me go back to my process server here. I already had it open. So here's an example of a script. And in a totally disconnected environment, you can create your DSC web server, and we can pull the configuration from that server to the environment. So, for highly protected environments, you're not dependent on the push server to get the mobility agent onto your VMs. You have a number of solutions that you can do. So here is the where you would store the entities that needed to be applied to the VM. And then, basically, as DSC goes, it checks the state or the configuration state of the machine that the script is being run against, and it apply, what is needed. So here I'd go ahead and apply the unified agent, and the Azure VM agent also, and then I would specify also the IP address. I did that up here, sorry, off my of the process server that these VMs are going to talk to. So you have a number of ways, as I said, to get this done. All right, let's go back to our slides for a bit, and let's move on. So one of the things that we want to talk about that is a challenge in a number of scenarios is also failback, right? Why failback becomes a challenge is because there are some additional components for VMware that need to be in place for a successful reprotect and failback in the environment. So let's kind of quickly look at what is required. So if I have a VM that is protected, right, I have an on-premise process server that is replicating my changes up into Azure storage, right? So my VM is protected in the cloud. Now, depending on what is in my infrastructure, I might need to, for a failback, I might need to deploy a process server again, which caches and compresses the content that is being sent back on premises, to back into the VM, that I want to recover to, or the state that I want to recover to. Now, I can deploy a process server, connect back to my on-premises infrastructure over VPN, and just remember that a process server doesn't transfer information over the public internet. It requires a VPN connection. Or if I have ExpressRoute, I don't need to deploy the process server in the cloud. I can leverage my ExpressRoute capabilities to do a failback on, and a recover of those virtual machines, right? Now, what becomes important is where. So I have to have also a master target or a process server on premises to receive the changes, from the cloud. That's just that one section is changed to do the rehydration, at my ESX host level. Now, the pieces that are important or comes into play or is of concern is a situation where when I recover a virtual machine, when I recover a virtual machine, the master target, that receives the changes from process server in the cloud, need to have access to the data store that the VM resides on. So this is what we call the scenario for an original location recovery. So we the you sh you, if you have a master target server that you're using for reprotect and failback, it should have access to the data store where the VM lives. So let me give you an example here. So we have master target server one that now has access to data store zero. If my VM sits on data store one, if I use master target one for recovery, that recovery is gonna fail, right? It should have access to both data store, it should have access to both the ESXi host 2 and also ESXi host 3, right? So you should have access to both data store 0 and data store 1, right? If I have another scenario where I have another ESXi host, which is data store 2, so I have an ESX, I have a data store that is connected to my ESXi host 2 and my ESXi host 4, and I'm using another master target server, which is the master target, let's say it's master target 2, right? Then I need to ensure that I have access to those data stores to reprotect my machine, right? And that's the crux of the matter there. Wherever I'm replicating, or sorry, restoring the VM is to, or where the VM lives, I need to have access to that data store. Now, for when I do an alternate location restore, which is a scenario where my let's say my ESXi host was completely removed or deleted. I need to ensure in that scenario that the again first preference, what will happen is that wherever my master target server lives, right? So I'm doing a restore of VM3 in this example, right? Whatever data store my master target server is connected to is where VM that new VM will be created. So suffice to say is to ensure whatever way when you're doing recovery to ensure that for that VM and the master target server that you're using that they both have access that master target server has access to the data store where the VM live, and you should ensure that the for whatever master target you're going to be used, ensure that it sits, it is inside your setup, for disaster inside the recovery services vault that you have created. And then also, I mean, there's a lot of items on this slide, but also you need to ensure that your Linux VMs need to have a separate, master target server, right? And then you need to have enough space on the master target server for the retention or cache drive. All right. So here are, a few common issues with that we find with failback. Where you find that, for example, you might get this error, and I've seen this error a couple of times because the agents are out of sync. The mobility agent is not the latest agent, so it has a different version than the unified agent that is running on the config process server. Again, we talked about the other one a while ago, where the data store is not accessible, so failback will fail. If you don't have the necessary permissions, and again, in some cases, I've run into this scenario where, the correct licensing was not there for the SSI host, right? Another common issue is UID issues, and this usually happens in scenarios where customers they haven't done they're using a template VM, but the VM is not it's not sysprep correctly, right? So this causes an issue where the UUIDs clash between the master target server and a protected disk. So there is a and there later this month there are some fixes that are going to be rolled out for ASR, and you'll see an update, and a fix for these particular issues. Okay. From that, the only other thing is, if you want to have additional information regarding further understanding of the deployment process for ASR and how the ASR service works both in the Hyper-V scenario and the VMware scenario, you can look at these links. These are they go into very detailed information about setup. And some of the common things that you'll come upon, while protecting your virtual machines. One thing I want to mention, I think I might have skipped over this, but I'm going to talk about it. Is the some failover issues that could potentially happen. I think I might have, and the biggest issue with that you find with failover. Is in the VMware scenario where, let's say, in when you protect VMs in the ARM portal, one of the biggest issues that happen is because we do a hydration process to strip some of the VMware contents from the VM before we can do a test failover or an unplanned failover. We're stripping the VMware contents because the environment in Azure is basically based on, a Hyper-V. We have to do a hydration process which strips the content of that VM. It requires a custom script to be run that, cleans or remove those contents before we can present that as an ISVM, inside Azure. There's an issue that arises where if the in ARM, if the network that you're failing over to, the NSG doesn't allow outbound internet access over 443 and port 80, the failover will fail, right? And you basically there's an article that's out on the internet that in the documentation here that shows you that you need to either update the NSG with the Azure DNS so that or create a whitelist of IP addresses to the Azure data center to ensure that the test failover or the unplanned failover will work, right? And I can add that also into the documentation that we're gonna put or leave on the Azure portal for you guys to when you pull down, from a review point of view. Okay, I guess a lot of stuff has been going on in the IAM window. Just gonna check to see if there are any questions. Okay, since there are no many questions, just want to thank everybody for attending today. As I said earlier, all our content will be available at our website. HTTP AKMS OMS Fridays. You'll be able to see your videos and the PowerPoint presentations that we use in today's session. Please look out for the next session in a few weeks, about September 30th, and the sessions, other sessions will follow on after that. Again, thank you for attending and continue to testing out our OMS solutions and providing feedback so that we can improve our products. Thank you very much.